This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to The Property Show in the Morning Run. I'm Sim Wee Boon. Social media apps like Clubhouse and TikTok are gaining mass appeal. More and more people today are getting on the apps, and you'd be surprised at the type of content you can discover from them. Today, we're going to focus on TikTok specifically. And while many people think that it's just an app that young people use to recreate dance moves and give makeup tips, amid the flashy movements and funny pranks, there's loads of surprising content that helps people to discover and learn just about anything from food recipes to personal finance and even property. So joining me on the show today is one such TikToker, Sean Tan Ai Heng, aka Real Estate Guy on TikTok, or Ai Heng on his various other social media platforms. On TikTok, he sports almost 100,000 followers, and he frequently uses it to break down property concepts in short and helpful videos, such as what is a zero-lot bungalow and car park requirements, and even busting popular myths that people might have about various types of properties. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, great having you here. So I'm going to start off first with a bit of a background question so that our listeners will get to know you a bit more. Talk to us a bit about your background. What qualifies you to give out advices on TikTok?
So first of all, by day, I'm attached with The Makeover Guys. So this is a property solution company where we help property investors to furnish their properties. Then by night, I create contents around properties. So that indirectly means by day and night, I only eat, breathe, live, and talk about properties. And that obsession of property began since very, very young. And personally, I'm an architectural grad, so I read drawings better than actually visiting the sites. Then I also am trained in real estate, where I was attached to a property development company for 6 years across 9 different departments. Also my master's in real estate from University of Malaya. So all this experience also contributes to me having my very first investment unit when I was 22 or 23. And that gives me that empathy to share or to have with all the audience, like especially first-time buyers. So first-time buyers, unfortunately, when I was buying back at my days, there was no available advice online or offline. So the only source of reference is my parents. Until when I come out to the market, then, oh, that's how people buy. And yeah, so I thought I want to bridge that gap in terms of the property knowledge in among the young Malaysians, especially.
So just as a context, you're not a licensed property agent or anything. And I think I would say maybe the advice that you're giving out is not like what to buy, where to buy, what to invest in, but more general knowledge, like what is what, this is how you do it, these are the backgrounds for such things. Am I right?
Yep. So I was a property agent before there was even regulations in the field. So back then, there was no requirement for license for real estate agents, actually. But then I was back then an agent. So there's a difference between advising and selling. But what I'm actually more obsessed about in the channel is to encourage people to make informed decisions and take calculated risks. So the problem is when people go to sales gallery, right? Most of the decisions are made based on emotions, not really rational thinking. And they got so hyped up with the sales pitch, with the awesome show units and the sales tactics and things like that. So every time when they go into a sales gallery, they will come up with a sale, they will come up with a booking form or a confirmed sale without even knowing that, hey, how did I bought and why did I buy? And by having more knowledge can actually control their urge of buying better.
So what kind of questions and kind of like requests or the response to the specific type of lessons that you have on TikTok? Is it mostly young people wanting to know about buying, renting, or are they just looking for background on like information, like what's the difference between a strata and a non-strata? I mean, what kind of questions are popular among the youths on your platform?
When I start, I also thought that it was all the younger crowds, the millennial and the Gen Zs. And I will always start with very basic terminologies like freehold, leasehold, what is a bungalow, what is a townhouse, what is a terrace, what is a studio. But then as soon as I post, right, I'm wrong. We all thought that it's a younger crowd, but the usual questions is like, what is the difference between freehold, leasehold, and with my minimum salary of 1,200, can I buy a house? And all these kind of more basic questions. But what caught me by surprise is the comment made by parents. So I also have parents tagging their children on TikTok. Hey boy, listen to this. So that's very interesting. So when we think that platforms has always, I think all platforms evolves, just like YouTube and Instagram and Facebook, right? Now, I think TikTok is also evolving, where a lot of people tend to have more knowledgeable sharing there rather than just dancing. So my audience is a mix. So it consists of parents telling their children what to do, follow, because I think parents also try to advise, but they don't know how. So they might as well just use this person to share what they think about property as well.
Now, I want to take a broader look through, especially with your years of experience. What are the main issues and questions that you've noticed that young people are always curious about? Is it like, what's the knowledge gap that a lot of youths have now when it comes to anything from buying a property or to renting a property or just understanding real estate in general?
Generally, young people only want to understand more about properties for two reasons. One is when they are about to get married. So like, I want to get married now. I'm going to propose to my girlfriend. Hence, I will need a house because the future father-in-law might ask me, do I have a property? So it will be awkward if I don't have. Then number two, it's when people thought that buying property will make them rich. So it's a wealth-generating tool. So that's a two misconception. And the unfortunate truth is when property is not a common dinner table topic. It's more of a taboo during conversations where it's very rude to ask, hey, how many properties you have during conversations, right?
Yep.
Hence, there's no like right fit person to educate or share the other spectrum. And if you look into social media as well, you will see people in suit and ties always revolves around real estate. But there's another different side to it, because based on my experience, you will see normal uncles with slippers and plastic bags, right, own up to 12 to 15 different properties around KL. So that's that gap. And a lot of people, when I share topics like this, the audience responds very differently. And I collect, and I'm open to questions in my platforms where I just share my email and everybody will just email me. So I'm receiving like 30 to 50 emails a week. And it's very surprising when you have young people sharing their point of view. Like, for example, when we say the wedding one, right? So when they share properties with their future spouse or their future wife, then dream house becomes the conversation when they want to buy the house. So it's very easy to then kick in their emotional feelings and things like that. Because imagine yourself living here with your children running around. Then they will tend to buy things that they cannot afford. Because if you will need to merge two names together just to get a house, right? It means that you cannot afford it. But not all relationships hold. Not like concrete and steel. sometimes breakup do happen. And it can get very, very ugly. So that's one of the big taboos that I always advise in my channel, where if you can afford, try to buy yourself. Don't involve until you really sign papers of your marriage certificate. Then only do consider lah, because that's one of the main mistakes. And what contributes to that as well, it's the perception of the older generation, where last time we only have individual terrace house as the real estate option, as an option for home. Stratified living and apartments didn't come until the late 60s or 70s. And the elders do not believe in living with other people. That's why a lot of older people suffer or they are actually quite reluctant to live in stratified communities where I need to pay maintenance, I need to do work and things like that. They have not seen the new side of things. Hence, they will always advise their children to only buy landed properties.
Mm.
So this ends up in the young person buying up a property that is very, very expensive, yet the rental yield is very, very bad. Because generally, terrace houses, you don't have very good rental rates. Then this contributes to them not having the lifestyle that they want. And they will then form a very negative perception towards real estate investment as a whole. Then the story of capital appreciation, or you buy landed house, price will increase. But it doesn't mean that if you buy a property that is very, very far away from CBD, it will applies. The same theories applies. So all of those are not debunked. All those are myths. Because back then, people buy... Subang Jaya was considered far.
I live in Subang Jaya, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so Petaling Jaya was considered far. But now everything seems to be closer and closer. Like sooner or later, the entire Selangor is KL. Greater KL in that sense. Yeah, so this wrong impressions or negative impression towards property investment then forms that belief for the family to pass down. Then I will have youngsters telling me like, hey, my father don't believe in property investment. Why? Because he got burned before. So it's all these kind of very, very weird impressions that actually forms the belief of the young person. And a lot of young students, especially like university students, coming to me like, hey, I am buying a property, but you don't have source of income. So sometimes the social media messages, right? They are telling people that it's very, very easy to own a property. You don't even need money to own a property. Well, we all know what's going on there. But then youngsters do not know anything about it. So they, with all these goodies and HOCs, right, then they will feel FOMO. They really fear of missing out. Then they will just pull the trigger, later bailed by their parents. So these are the more common mistakes that youngsters are going through. And I really hope that the channel, because in the channel as well, I have this Asking Sean segment where people can just email me and I'll just read out their questions and I'll answer them on the spot. So that has been well received. And yeah, that's how I got all the insights from what the youngsters are feeling right now. It's totally not as per expected from the public. We all think that youngsters don't know anything. You just tell them what to buy, they will buy. Not really though.
All right, that's very interesting. We're going to take a short break now for some ads. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You're tuned into The Property Show on the Morning Run. I'm Sim Wee Boon. And with me today is Tan Ai Heng. He's also known as the Real Estate Guy on TikTok. He's been using the platform to break down property concepts in short and helpful videos. Earlier in the show, we were getting to know him and we talked about why he uses the platform and some general observations he's made throughout the time he's been talking about property there. So now, Sean, I want to talk to you about rent versus buying. Do you see anything in that space? Because from my experience, a lot of people around my age would rather rent now instead of just buying. In fact, some have taken the stance that they're not going to buy at all and they're just going to rent for their entire lives.
I would say that is correct, provided you know what you're doing. Like my stand is back then, I've made my choice. I've decided to climb the corporate ladder for good. End up didn't happen. But back then, the fixed salary was my only dependent. Then I will try my best to climb. So fixed salary becomes a security for me to do investment. Hence, I buy a few. But for those who are still figuring out what they want to do, especially in this time and age where basically you can start business as easy as like now it's free for young entrepreneurs. Then you have all these e-commerce sites, social media platforms for your marketing. It's remarkable to see like 19-year-old, 20-year-old starting a bakery gig and then they start making money, 5 to 10,000 a month. Then with you starting a business, cash flow is important, capital is important. Then my advice is don't get into real estate because it's going to be a very, very long game. Also, if your career is not sure yet, you are really not a firm on what you are doing, then also don't get a house. But I would always tell people to get a property for investment purposes. Unless you have a better plans, like you know what to do with your money, for example, Bitcoin, share market, gold, and etc., like whatever you like. But then it's very important to make your money work for you instead of just sitting on it. Renting becomes a very convenient excuse sometimes of not buying a property. So a lot of people would say that it's because of my lifestyle, or I don't know whether I will be transferred to Bangkok or not. Hence, I don't want to buy a home yet. But you can always buy a house to rent to people, ma.
But there's also an issue of affordability, right? I mean, a lot of people complain that properties nowadays, they're just not affordable for a young person, for a youth, you know. I mean, some I'm like, I have to wait until I'm like 40, probably only I can afford a property that I want or a property that meets the standards. And even then, it might be overpriced.
The unfortunate truth about property is that it's really a tool for rich people or wealthy people. That's a very unfortunate truth. So it means that whether you have money in your pocket or you have wealth in your mindset. So if you know how to play the game, you don't really need a lot. You still need capital, but you don't really need a lot. But there's something about this entitlement about young graduates, right? Just coming out of the society and they expect the property to be within their affordability. I think that's some form of entitlement. Because real estate will always be expensive. I asked my parents back then when the terrace house that we live in back then, it was 50,000 or 80,000 only.
Yeah.
It was still very expensive for them. Because back then we don't have 35 years loan facilities. We don't have, the interest rates was like 10%, 12%. And the only way you can buy is to somewhat have a better connection with a salesperson, because even lining up doesn't guarantee you a property back then and things like that. So knowledge was also not as easily available. Hence, a lot of people make mistakes back then. Again, this entitlement about young people graduating, right? They will always think that, oh, my first salary also cannot buy a house. You are not supposed to buy a house using your first salary, lah. So like renting then becomes an alternative. That's true. But there's this concept about saving, and there's this concept about money making, right? That is not discussed enough among the youth, lah. Because a lot of people thought that they graduate then, oh, I must have a house, I might have a car, then I get married, then that's about it, lah. But not really. If you want a house, actually, God, you want 300,000 in PJ, God, but you wouldn't want to live inside.
Yep.
Right? So it's not that it's not available, just that it's not up to your standard. So the standard that you want, unfortunately, inflation is not on your side.
Okay, so apart from TikTok and social media platforms and people like you, how else do you think are better ways to increase the awareness of property knowledge for the younger generation? I mean, should the government get involved? Should it be involved, put into a school syllabus? Should parents talk more about this to their children? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it would be a while until government tries to intervene in this education. But before properties, right, I would actually encourage more people to teach or share knowledge about financing, personal finance first, like not to have that fear of money. How to save money, then how to earn money, how to make money work for you. Then only we talk about properties. But a lot of people, before getting their first salary, they are already going into sales galleries and bookings and things like that already. So my take is currently, like what you're doing, audio, right? So I'm also thinking about multiple different platforms. Like I'm also on Spotify, I'm also on whatever new upcoming form of content sharing. I will be there trying to achieve that knowledge gap, trying to bridge that knowledge gap that I mentioned. Besides that, it's pretty hard to really teach a person what he does, what he don't know that exists. Well, that sounds confusing because there's three forms of knowledge. I know what I know. I don't know. I know what I don't know. And the last one is I don't know what I don't know. unfortunately, a lot of people are in the third stage where they don't know what they don't know. So they don't even know that this world of people having 50 properties when they are at 50s, because their parents only have one and they need to be very careful with their money and things like that. Like leverage can be a double-edged sword. Then they will always tell the negative side before the positive side. So a lot of education is involved, but not only social media. Like I got into this game by following my aunt in collecting rental until the day when I followed her until I fed up already. Then I finally popped the question. It's like, hey, aunt, why are these people paying you money? What are they paying you for every month? Then she mentioned space. It took a while for me to really understand space requires money. So in the city, especially like for you, like for us in stay in Subang Jaya or Shah Alam, right? We stay very close to our uni and things like that. Hence, we do not really need to rent a place. So until you really start paying for space, right, you will not appreciate space. Therefore, a lot of youngsters only start to take notice about real estate when they come out and work. Then they need to rent a place in KL. Then they pay 600 or 1,000 for a shoebox up in the sky. Then only they, oh, I think I started too late and things like that. So it takes a very, very long time. But as we go on, I think real estate becomes a very, very inevitable thing. So I foresee in the future, even like living in New York, renting a particular address becomes a luxury, not owning it. And I think in the future, maybe 50, 80 years time, right? Wow, you are renting in this project. Wow, you're very rich. That will become the conversation. Owning no longer becomes a conversation because it's too far-fetched.
Okay, and I think that's all the time we have for today's property show. Thank you for being on the show, Sean. So that was Sean Tan Ai-Hung, aka Real Estate Guy on TikTok, and Ai-Hung on various other social media platforms like YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, and all. I'm Simi Woon, signing off for the morning run. We've got the 10 a.m. news bulletin coming up next, followed by Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.